Good afternoon and welcome to the Project Jar Radio Show. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini.
Here was our quote from yesterday. This is the true joy of life, the being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one. Being a full creature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. Notice that the purpose is recognized by yourself as a mighty one. It doesn't have to be recognized by everyone as a mighty one, just you. Today, consider what might be my purpose you could give yourself to. What has your heart longed for that the voices of conditioning say no to? Watch carefully as the heart drops in suggestions, and when you record those suggestions, be sure to note what the voices say to discourage you as lies told by the voices of conditioning. Record and listen.
Mm-hmm. I just love that.
Here's our first. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Susan.
Hello, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
What are you seeing?
What am I seeing? Well, right now I'm in the park seeing the sun, so that's a great start. It seems like a lot of the quotes recently have been about love and compassion. And so when I did yesterday's quote, the first thing that dropped in was, well, you could have your higher purpose be about loving and nourishing yourself. And then the storm started, was around, God, that's so selfish. How does that help anybody else? What are you thinking? See, I told you, you only, you know, I was like, wow. So, but I noticed that that was the reaction. I thought, well, that's interesting.
You noticed it, and it sounds like, I project, anyway, that you didn't automatically believe it or buy into it. You didn't just listen to the voice in your head without realizing it was a voice in your head. You saw it was a storm. It was an attack.
Yeah, it was. And then I think it was that morning, the morning before, I was getting ready to do something, and I was kind of frazzled, and I had so much to do. What was I going to do first? And I had this work, and it was one of those kind of moments. And I recognized I was, like, looking for somebody else or something else to give me permission to not rush, to not be urgent, that everything was okay. Like, oh, maybe my husband will reassure me or this one. And this voice in my head, which I now think was probably the mentor, said, Susan, what better person to give you permission than yourself? I was like, oh, really? And it makes me kind of sad to talk about it because it was such a kind and honest voice. And
I? It moves you.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you sad, does it?
I can feel that in my stomach, that sort of, could I have more of that voice? Could I? So I went to the park. I called into the show. I listened, and I didn't do my entire to-do list. I totally went the other direction. So that thing about loving myself, and I don't mean me. I don't mean little self, but big self.
Yes. Compassion for the incarnation. Compassion for the love and appreciation and compassion, treasuring the expression of life that we call Susan.
Yes, and in doing that, it ripples out to everybody.
Right. That's right. That is exactly right. Yeah, so we can see why the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate would just jump right in the middle of your chest with, you can't do that, that's so selfish, because it's actually completely unselfish.
Yes, when I think of it in that I won't even say higher perspective, but broader perspective.
Yeah.
You know, of a bigger self.
That's right. You're choosing compassion. You're choosing unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And as you say, when you choose that, when you are that, when you recognize that as authentic nature and you're living that, then that's available for everyone and everything.
Yeah, I guess what you're saying, I think, the way I hear it is I'm choosing a process
yes.
of compassion. And
yes.
it's a place, not a necessarily an action.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And so
yeah.
here at the retreat, we were talking last night, and I'm going to say kidding because it was much of it was lighthearted, about the sitting on the sofa. You know, there's the giant mm-hmm. to-do list. And the person becoming completely overwhelmed and practically paralyzed by mm-hmm. by the voices, and just go sit on the couch and just sit there, and then all the energy comes back to the human being because it's not going to feed that all that negativity and conditioned mind. The energy comes back to the human being, and then it drops in what to do, and you jump up and do it because doing that, participating in
mm-hmm.
that way, is an expression of life.
Yeah, I get that, and I have more and more moments around. I've had several instances lately. My mother's really sick, and my eldest son's doing much better, and my brother's having troubles of this immediate going to, there's something I have to do if I feel love and compassion for them, and then stopping and going, oh, wait a minute, I don't have to
right.
do anything. And that's such a shift. I mean, it's...
Yes, it is.
It's out of
yep.
that guilt, and is this right
oh,
or wrong? And
it's all
you know.
Ego. It's all ego, and we've been conditioned to believe that it's selfless, and it's the most selfish thing in the world. You know, I'm going to identify with ego, and I'm going to start doing what I'm told I should do to take care of you, and it is so uncaring for you.
Well, it's exactly, I don't remember where I saw the quote. I think it was by you, or I don't know if it was in the daily quotes or one of the assignments around. Even if you're doing something for somebody else because you think you shouldn't, you don't want to, you still are doing it for you and because of those voices.
Yep.
You don't want to feel guilty. You don't want to feel judged. That was such a like, oh, my God, there's my life. You know, it was
uh-huh.
really. I've
yep.
thought about that a lot. So, yeah, just that. Just not even trying, but staying with compassion as an experience, not a to-do, is, for me, a real shift.
Yes.
And
it's a good one.
Yeah, and I'm very
All right.
grateful. So that's my story for today. Thank you, everybody. It's been wonderful to have this call every day.
All right.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay, thanks.
Staying with compassion, and that's the bottom line, the compassion inclusive of this person. It's just it seems to be the encapsulation of what we practice, no matter what.
Yes.
No matter
yes.
what the circumstances, no matter what's going on, can we stay in that place of compassion?
Compassion no matter what, no matter what the context.
It is.
Yes.
It's truly a mighty purpose. It's the mightiest
yes.
purpose of all.
Possibly, yes. Very probably the mightiest purpose of all. Yeah. And it certainly keeps us from being that feverish little clod of whatever it is, ailments and mm-hmm. complaints. You know, it takes us out of ego and mm-hmm. gives us the something to do that is actually a way to be. And there are no borders, no boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
mm-hmm.
then separates anything from anything. It's really the best that we can give.
Mm-hmm. You know, this might take us off the discussion, but what dropped in when Susan was talking about, having compassion or love for this person, the me, and how ego has a storm as a result of it, it's interesting because what we I project authentically are aware of is we certainly don't want to love the ego me. That's not what
yes.
we're loving. And
yes.
that's why there's that moment of how can this be I can't be included in love because I doesn't know love.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that just that, it's just an interesting place to watch.
Yes, yes. And as soon as we come back to unconditional love and compassion, it's not an issue.
Exactly. Exactly so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hmm.
Next caller. All right.
Somebody got shy.
Mm-hmm. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from Berkeley.
Hello, Laura.
Hello.
What are you seeing?
Well, what am I seeing? Well, I was just looking at when, because I've been putting myself in the queue every day, but then I got onto open air last night, so there was a voice this morning being like, you can't put yourself in the queue, sir. But I did it anyway.
you spoke yesterday about your process. You can't speak about it 2 days in a row. That's just over
That's
the top.
That's right. Clearly, I must be done with that process by now.
Right.
But that was the process that I talked about yesterday was kind of going into a busy time at work and just see I'm just sort of in the thick of feeling all that process go on, and it just feels like energy in the body. And this morning, waking up to conditioning, wanting to think through my entire day and all that stuff, and that was what I picked yesterday for the mighty purpose I think what I've seen is that my experience with that is so different when I'm in presence versus when I'm in a conversation about how busy it is with conditioning.
Oh, yes. And that's it, isn't it? So it's a busy time at work, and ego's way of handling that is to keep us in a constant conversation about how busy it is.
Mm.
As if that is the same as taking care of the things that need to be taken care of. And, of course, we all know the experience of not actually being able to take care of the things that need to be taken care of, that are there to be taken care of in the moment, because we're busy being in a conversation about how busy we are and how many things there are to do. Often lost in a conversation planning something for a future date or regretting something that didn't happen in the past and miss what's possible for us right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Get all upset, and I've got to talk to my coworkers about how hard it is, and how terrible it is.
Yes. In case anybody didn't notice, yeah. And
right.
when we're actually present, then we realize nothing is any different than it ever is. There's only what's happening in this moment ever.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the story is.
Yeah, I had a really nice moment this morning. I was kind of rushing around, getting breakfast ready, and then I just looked out the window, and there was, sunlight on this tree, and it kind of dropped in. I'm just going to sit and look at this tree for a minute. Those are the moments I miss when I'm in that conversation,
Exactly so. Exactly so.
Yeah.
As if, and the belief, of course, is that that conversation makes you more productive and efficient and effective, and because you're really paying attention. You know how busy it is and how fast you have to move. And it really serves ego, but it's not actually producing. It's not producing what it says it's producing. And we know that when we step back. And we especially know it when we watch somebody else do it, where all they are is rushing around, dropping things and forgetting things and getting off track. And we just wish they would slow down and pay attention to what they're doing. So good advice for us when we get that way.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like I have a lot of tools that help me get to that place, and I think what I'm looking at now is how do I support myself and so that I have my best chance of being able to actually use those tools and and access that place that I know is there.
Yes. Yes. And so I would guess that that consists of setting up your day with as many things as you can possibly put in it that remind you to get here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is where it's all happening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep. All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Take good treasure
bye-bye.
Yourself. Don't forget to treasure yourself.
Go happy.
I wish I'd told Susan that. She's still listening. So, Susan, remember to treasure yourself. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye, Laura.
Thanks, Laura. Yeah. This is where it's all happening. So lots of reminders mm-hmm. just to come back here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you made a comment about patience. We were looking at impatience, and you said when you're here, there's nothing to be impatient about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's no busyness in the moment.
Yeah, 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 good point. So if I'm feeling any of those things, if I'm feeling rushed or impatient or anxious or whatever, those can be life's little message to me saying you're not here. Mm-hmm. You're having an experience that doesn't happen here.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of trying to solve that problem, I need to get here.
Yes. And that's really the movements we practice, the first being aware of what it feels like to be not here as a clue to get here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when we're here, the experience of what it feels like to be here.
Yeah.
Is wholeheartedly being here.
Yeah. And it's wonderful, isn't it, that there might be 10 million situations, but they all have the same solution here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every kind of problem would be solved if everyone were here. And so for me to solve my problems, I need to get here and not worry about what anybody else is doing.
Yeah. All right. Let me attempt to get my caller back. Your next caller, you're
right.
Now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, there you are. All right, what are you seeing?
Well, so I just kind of sat with that question, you know, I love the way it's worded. Let's see if I can get it. Basically, I can't get it exactly, but to be involved in a purpose that you recognized as a mighty one, and it was emphasized the idea that that it's a purpose recognized by oneself. It doesn't have to be that everybody recognizes it
right.
as a mighty.
Right.
So that was really helpful, and so when I just kind of let things drop in, one thing dropped in. And it was to practice being present in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That is a mighty purpose.
That is a mighty purpose.
And I mean that, and I was just coming back to me a little bit before I got just unmuted here. And I just realized that there's emotion with that, and I was looking at that, and I think it's because someone feels really loved by that.
Yes.
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 That because the purposes that I've usually thought of in the past are big things, in quotes, what I'm going to do in the world and how I'm going to help with this problem and that problem and all of that sort of thing, but it feels really kind and loving to have as my central purpose to be present in the moment, at least to practice that, and that all those other things are, as you were actually just talking about, get taken care of by that. I don't have to worry about all the world's problems. It's not that I don't care, It's just that I can't fix all of them anyway. But I can do this one thing, which is to practice being present in the moment.
Yes.
And, you know, that helps everything.
Yes. And, you know, Jeff, I would guess that the emotion that comes with that is, this is kind of, I don't know if it's a little bit convoluted, but you'll follow it. When I am being told all these big things that I need to do, there's an implication with that, that as I am, I'm not enough. And so I have to do something kind of to justify my existence or to become somebody who is worthy of love or respect or that sort of thing. And to realize this mighty purpose of being present is to honor the being. Right? It honors the inherent goodness that's there. So it takes self-improvement out of the mix. And what a relief to realize that just as we are more than enough. We're plenty.
Yeah, I think you're right on with all of that, because all of that, I've never thought of it in terms of karma before, but I think that, you know, saving the world karma and being the right person karma, you know, which means doing something big and important. You know, I think I have a big dose of that kind of thing. So it exactly feels like that to say that it's enough to practice being right here in the moment, and that it actually is a mighty purpose. You know, that doesn't, it makes no sense, of course, to conditioned mind. But, you know, to the heart, it feels really good.
Yeah. And if we realize that conditioned mind is what's devoted to being that feverish little quad of ailments and complaints or whatever it is, you know, whining that the world isn't devoting itself to making me happy. That's what ego is. So it's never going to get, you're never going to get its enthusiastic approval for you dropping it in order to live in gratitude, in presence, and in a hello life, I'm available stance in relation to life.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not going to be excited about that. It wants you to focus on what's wrong with you, with everything and everybody else. And so just to be present in gratitude and available for whatever life calls you to do, that ego's not going to be supportive there.
No, right. It doesn't have any life there.
Right.
You know, it just feels miraculous to me. To consider just these two things, that we've said it all the time, so many, you know, this kind of stuff so many times, but to really see that I don't have to do all those other things first, you know, in order to be absolutely not only okay, but really, you know, at peace and in well-being and feeling joy, really being lit up and, you know, enjoying being alive a lot of the time and being okay when it's really challenging and, you know, still being in well-being. I don't have to do all these other things first. I don't have to be the right person, make all this happen, change myself, you know, write this situation, take care of that. It's immediate.
Right. It's immediate.
And the other part is that, and that's actually the best thing I can do for all those other things. That those two things are both true feels so miraculous.
Yes, yes, yes. And you can do what I think is the mightiest of all, fulfill the mightiest of all purposes. You can be an example that's possible. Mm-hmm. You can be the proof for anybody who wants proof that it's possible to end suffering in this very lifetime, no matter what one's circumstances are. Mm-hmm. And because you did it. Yeah.
What a gift compared to all of the things that ego would say that we need to do, and as you point out, that we need to do first. No, in suffering, help people see that it's possible for them to do it too because you did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then who knows what we might all do together once we've put suffering behind us.
Yeah. Boy, it's just to just turn that totally on its head, you know, about which of those we do first, you know, because,
yes.
Yeah, that is so great. Well, Sherry, thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, thank you, Ashwini.
Go happy, huh?
Go happy.
All right.
Thank you, Jeff. Sherry, I'm going to try to get another caller in. So,
good. Thank you.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Phil.
Hey, Phil.
I guess it's good afternoon, huh? Well,
it's good afternoon where we live. Yes, it is. Good morning to you. Good afternoon. I feel like Truman. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful morning here, too.
Oh, good. Good.
Yes. Well, that last conversation just, for me, said it all, really. But... because I was looking at something like, well, what happened yesterday was, well, what happened all the time is that is the purpose I saw for my life is to wake up in suffering and do that by being present and living in loving kindness. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, my general intention for the day and for my life. And I do a lot of practices to support that. Well, yesterday, after that quote, I thought, and you can watch this because that wasn't the side talking that I think thought all this. So dropped in from somewhere that, oh, okay, today I'm feeling kind of closed. So there was a big thing going on at work. We had a memorial, a lot of people there. So my intention was, I said, I'm going to practice being open, all right? So mm-hmm. So at some point, I'm right there in the middle of it, and I'm something's coming along saying, you know, there's this feeling of, oh, God, I'm just not open. I just feel so closed, you know, and this isn't how I wanted to feel. And so you can guess all what's going on. So, mm-hmm. so but the thing is, and this is what happens all the time, but this time within this context, I could see that this particular assignment, and I think a lot of our assignments, one of the good parts about them is they bait conditioning because it couldn't just leave this alone. So I saw, hey, you know, I could hear by the language, this is not, you know, this is some kind of conditioned reality. And of course I'm not feeling the way I'm wanting to feel because part of my attention is on it, even though I don't believe any of it. That's what was interesting. If I were to say, do I believe that? No. But mm-hmm. there was a part of my attention on it. And so when I saw that, though, it all kind of just disappeared. Because it says, oh, I'm caught, you know, and it left. But, so I think that's, you know, one of the really, you know, when you say challenge, go up against conditioning and stuff like that, that's what we're doing with some of these practices. It draws it out, you know, it kind of,
that's
right. It's like the worm on the hook.
That's right. That's what makes it a workshop, doesn't it? So it drops in, I'd like to be open today. Well, conditioning, you know, it's a clever program, but it's not clever.
Right.
And so that's there it is. It says, oh, she wants to be open today. Okay, well, there's none of that's going to happen. So there it is. Now you've drawn it out. And so you're getting to watch how it does what it does. And before long, you've seen it all. And because you're present and looking,
which is not supposed to be happening, right? It's supposed to, right. You want to be open. It starts pointing out how you're not open and you're not having the right experience and you feel bad and it ruins the day and you go into self-hate. That's how it's supposed to go. But instead,
yes.
You decide you want to be open. It starts doing what it does. You're watching it and poof, it just disappears because it can't maintain itself under scrutiny.
That's right. And awareness is so important because I saw it with the by looking at my energy, you know, by feeling the energy that was going on in my body. And I thought, something's, you know, going on. And that's when out of the corner of my eye, you know, I saw what was going on. So and I think you talk about this a lot, but the monitoring your energy or being aware to notice every, you know, subtle kind of movement of it is really important.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Expanded awareness. There's nothing like it, huh?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I think we're at time, so I won't go on. But thank you because, and you and Ashwini and everybody else who does, you know, puts on this program because it's amazing. On all fronts. On all fronts.
Yeah. It takes a sangha, doesn't it?
It does.
Takes a sangha. All right. Thank
great.
You, Phil.
Thank you.
So happy.
You go happy too, and Ashwini.
Thanks, bye-bye. Phil. Take care. It truly is, you know, Sherry, when I look at the word, those who walk together, all of us walking to that mighty purpose of just being here.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Of being the expressions of there's nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Beautiful thing.
Gives me chills.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well,
wonderful
here's our
thing.
Assignment for the day.
Okay.
Happiness is as a butterfly, which when pursued is always beyond our grasp, but which if you will sit down quietly may alight upon you. What a lovely reminder for meditators. We often hear that all we need is to sit and the magic will happen. We don't need to do anything or try to improve or get it right. Just sit. Today, give yourself a few moments to sit down quietly and allow the butterfly of happiness to alight upon you. Record and listen.
All right.
All right.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan, doesn't it?
It sure does.
All right.
Take care, everybody.
To you,
thanks, Sherry.
And to everybody. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.